It's often said local is lekker, and today we bring it back home and talk all things PSL. You're now tuned in to the 11th episode of Diski Vibes with Luyolo versus Sechaba. Hello and welcome back to Diski Vibes. You are listening to the 11th episode and it's me, Sechaba, and I'm joined by my co-host, Luyolo.
How are you doing, bro?
I'm great, bro. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. How's your week of football been so far?
Man, it's been a good week seeing Barca lose like that. Yeah, you know, that was good to see.
Yeah. But on today's episode, we talk all things PSL. We bring it back to South African football, the game that we all love, Diski Flavor and Kasi Flavor. Yeah. How do you feel? How do you feel about the resumption of the PSL?
Yeah, it's good to see the boys back playing. And yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting title race.
Yeah.
And a relegation battle.
Yeah. So without wasting any time, where do we start on today's episode?
Yeah, first things first, on today's show, we have penalty trivia shootout. This is our... every week we test each other's knowledge on... On this week's episode, we'll be testing each other's knowledge on the PSL. So we have five questions ascending in difficulty. And I'll start with my question first.
Okay, no problem.
Which team has the longest winning run in the league this season?
Yeah.
And that's 8 wins in a row.
Okay.
So A, Kaizer Chiefs. B, Mamelodi Sundowns. C, Orlando Pirates. And D, Maritzburg United.
I'm going to go with Kaizer Chiefs.
Kaizer Chiefs?
Yeah.
Particular reason or when do you...
Where do I...
Yeah.
Because at some point they had about 11-point gap and they just kept picking up points.
So are you right?
I'm going to go
right.
With Kaizer Chiefs.
Kaizer Chiefs. It is Kaizer Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah. So my first question is, who won the first game post-lockdown? A, Kaizer Chiefs, B, Cape Town City, C, Bidvest Wits, or D, AmaZulu?
That's an interesting one. But I'm leaning more towards AmaZulu D.
Wrong. Cape Town City actually won the first game against Chipper United 1-0. Yeah.
Okay, my second question for you is, only one side is yet to score from the penalty shootout in the league this season. Can you name them?
Yeah.
A, Golden Arrows. B, Cape Town City.
Yeah.
C, Maritzburg United. And D, Polokwane City.
From the penalty spot?
Yeah, penalty spot this season.
Can you just give me the options one more time?
Okay. Golden Arrows.
Yeah.
Cape Town City.
Yeah.
Maritzburg United.
Yeah.
And Polokwane City.
I'm going to go with C, Cape Town City.
Oh, it is B. Yeah, it's Cape Town City. Yeah, though they were awarded one penalty this year. And Nodada missed that penalty. Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay. So, that's 2-1 to me.
Yeah.
Who made their debut for Kaizer Chiefs this past weekend? A, Promise Mkuma. B, Keletso Sifama. C, Keletso Magalwa. Or D, Rowan Human.
Damn, that's a tough one. Can you just give me the options again?
Okay. A, yeah. Promise Mkuma. B, Keletso Sifama. C, Keletso Magalwa. Or D, Rowan Human. So...
I know it was a fullback and you got a penalty. Can you give me... Because I don't know the name.
Okay. He's not a fullback. He's actually...
But like you got a penalty.
Yeah.
He was involved in the major. Yeah.
He's an attacking player. Yeah. He's got 12 goals and 19 games from the MDC. He's been recently promoted. So it's the 17-year-old Keletso Sifama. Based on the fact that you were correct in that he did come on and get a penalty. Yeah. Okay, I'll be lenient because that's a bit of a difficult one.
Yeah.
What's your next question,
okay,
bro?
So the third question for me is, which of these teams have conceded the most goals this season?
Yeah.
A, AmaZulu.
Yeah.
B, Golden Arrows.
Yeah.
C, Cape Town City.
Yeah.
And D, Stellenbosch United. No, Stellenbosch, yeah.
Yeah. AmaZulu have conceded the most goals this season.
Nah, that's incorrect. Cape Town City has actually conceded the most.
Damn.
And they've conceded 32.
Yo.
Yeah.
Hey, you wouldn't say, eh?
You wouldn't say.
You didn't say.
Even though they're higher up in the on the log than the other.
That's why
I put Cape Town City there. Trick question.
Yeah, and you know, it actually makes sense now that you, when I think of it, if I introspectively go into it, because for the longest time, Cape Town City have had defensive problems at centre-back. It's only this past weekend we saw Aboubakar Mubara and Tariq Filiz, the preferred partnership, come back.
Yeah.
So my next question is, how many teams are sharing the Dobsonville Stadium in this bio-bubble as a home ground? A, 3 teams, B, 4 teams, or C, 2 teams?
So only 3 options?
Yeah.
Mm. So it's 2 teams, 3 teams, and what?
4 teams.
4 teams.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 3.
you're actually wrong. So 2 teams are sharing Dobsonville as a home stadium. It is Mamelodi Sundowns and Highlands Park. What's your next question?
And then the score is?
The score?
Yeah, what's the score?
We're currently sitting at 2-2. And I think you have, 2 more questions or 1 more questions to go?
Yeah, now we have two more questions.
Yeah. Okay.
My next question for you is, what is the longest unbeaten run by a PSL team in the PSL era history?
Yeah.
A, 36 games. B, 31 games. C, 29 games. And D, 24 games.
D, 24 games.
Nah, it's actually 31 games. And this was Kaizer Chiefs in 2005.
Yo, they're on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my next question is, how many goals does Themba Zwane have this season in the PSL? A, 9 goals. B, 10 goals. C, 8 goals. Or D, 11 goals?
I don't think it's on double figures. So that takes it A out. What are the other
eight,
options?
9, 10, 8 or 11.
And I know he's on penalty duty. So I think it's like...
He's actually not on penalty duty. He only takes penalties if Ricardo Nascimento is not on the
but
field.
But he has scored penalties.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with 9.
Wrong. He's on 10 goals.
He's on double figures.
Yeah.
Yo, that's impressive.
He's really having a great season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, my last question for you is, what is the highest number of clean sheets any side has kept over a full season in the PSL?
Yeah.
A, 23, B, 19, C, 21, and D, 25.
19 clean sheets.
That's wrong, actually. C, Kaizer Chiefs, 2003-2004. So they kept 21 clean sheets that season.
That's a very impressive defensive record, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so my last question. Who won Man of the Match in the Sundowns versus Highlands game? A, Rivaldo Kutsia, B, Sipelelo Mkhulisi, C, Themba Zwane, or D, Ricardo Nascimento?
I'll go with Rivaldo. I don't know.
Yeah, you're wrong. Sipelele Mkhulisi actually won the Man of the Match. He was the goal scorer as well. I was quite impressed with how he took that goal. He outjumped some of the tallest defenders in the league.
Mm.
And he finished really well. So moving on right along to our second segment of today's episode, we are going to head into the unpopular opinion segment. Firstly, we've got Rivaldo Kutsia in his new position. And this has actually happened by virtue of Manqoba Mnqithi's footballing intelligence, if we could say. He urged Peter Musimane to push Rivaldo Kutsia into the midfield by virtue of the fact that his passing game is really good. Ambidextrous player, 5-yard passes, 20-yard passes, diagonals, very good. He reads the game really well and he hardly loses the ball. And I think this decision that they've made as Sundowns, it really has been a great decision to put him into the midfield, because I think he looks very comfortable. He looks at home there. How have you felt about Rivaldo Kutsia's new position in the heart of midfield?
I think I'm going to have to disagree with you there, because I feel like one of the main reasons that he was put into that position is because of Andy Lejali's off-the-field stories where he was caught drunk or something.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why they had to play him in that position. And I don't think it's worked out since the resumption of the PSL. Because if you check the last three results that they had, I think they were all draws, if I'm not mistaken.
And the thing is, no, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Rivaldo Coutinho was actually converted last season. And he's also on set piece duty.
Okay.
So it's not post lockdown. It's a position that Pizzo mentioned that they're working on for Rivaldo Coutinho because they felt that at centre back he's very good. However, he does not have the height to really match up in Europe. And over the seasons, we've seen Pizzo Mosimane convert players, some of the best players, and polish them and turn them into quality players that he was able to sell overseas. A name that comes to my head is Bongani Zungu, for example. Yeah. Bongani Zungu, when he arrived at Mamelodi Sundowns, he played as a 10 and also played as a second striker at times. And he was getting the goals. And then Pizzo felt that in order to take this guy to the next level and really get him into the European leagues, if I put him in a deep laying 8 position or a 6 position, he'd really thrive, you know. So with regards to that, I have to agree and say that I don't think it's truly, truly worked out post-lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, before lockdown, I think it was working out really well because what it does is that it gives Hlompho Kekana the license to move forward, you know, and to add in on attack. And it also gives him the freedom of playing in that hole just behind the Temba Zwanes and the Vilagazis, where he's able to pick up the ball by the edge of the box and take those shots, as opposed to when he's playing maybe with a Jali or Mabunda. He's a lot further deeper, so he's not as close to goal. So I think Hlompho Kekana looks more of a threat when Rivaldo Coutinho has played as a 6. He enables him to go forward.
Okay, but my question for you, has it been effective? Yeah.
You know, there's only one thing I can say about that.
Yeah.
To answer you, I think that the move is great. However, because the team hasn't started picking up points from it, then obviously there's always room for doubt, you know.
Yeah.
However, I feel like if we're to judge him based on just his performances alone and as a 6, I think it has worked out. However, the other guys around him, I just feel like they're just not finishing the chances. Because if these guys are scoring goals and Sundowns are picking up the W, sorry, they're picking up 3 points. If the Sundowns are picking up 3 points, then we'll turn around and be like, you know what, that's a masterstroke by Pizzo. But because now they're not winning, then you start to question, what, do we maybe need to bring Jali back into the fold?
Yeah.
Because I also think that Sundowns have looked a bit more solid in that center defensive midfield position, because naturally he's a center back, so you can also slot in as a third center back in between Madisha and Nascimento, and he's also able to cover for them. So I think it's a great move. It's just I think because the team is not winning, then yeah, it's very difficult to praise him at this point.
Yeah, but for me it's kind of a problem because against Vids, he played with 4 defensive midfielders in the midfield, so it becomes a bit of a problem in that regard. Are we too defensive? Do we have enough creative players in the midfield? But yeah, we could go on the whole thing.
Yeah,
Time we can tell.
Only time will tell.
If it's going to yield any results. Yeah.
If it's going to yield any results. You know, speaking on Sundowns and being too defensive, I think Pizzo has had very, very managed games in the lockdown. I mean, post-lockdown.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's not attacking the games.
Yeah.
I mean, he's converted Mabowe into a right back, which is something we'll touch on a bit later.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, the second player, who is by far one of my favorite players and one of the greatest players in PSL history, who doesn't really get the praise because he's never played for a traditional Big 3 team, is Jabu Maluleka. He did play his 344th game this past weekend, and he scored a free kick.
Impressive.
And he's 38 years old.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Jabu Maluleka's career as a whole and just how he's done in the PSL and his longevity, you know? For him to be a 38-year-old who's still bossing the midfield and running the show, how do you feel about that?
I think to play in the PSL for so many, for 18 years, you have an 18-year
career
time, in the PSL, you have to be very disciplined.
Yeah.
And you have to be dedicated to your craft, to your work. So I think he's a very important player for Polokwane City, and he's the captain, so that just shows that is how good he is. And yeah, I think maybe he can play for 2 more years. I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
he looks fit.
He looks very fit, yeah. And he looks at home. Yeah. Do you understand? And yeah. And when he gets subbed, he's not getting subbed at 60 minutes. He's yeah. getting subbed at the 82nd minute.
Yeah.
Whereas you can see that the coach is now adding a different dimension to the style of play.
Tactical change.
It's a tactical change. Yeah. It's not a change because he can't cope.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And the question I have for you, do you think that the media, coupled with footballing teams, tend to push players who reach the age of 34, 35 out of the game, whereas in Jabu Maluleke's case, we've seen that he's still got so much more to offer?
Yeah, I do think, but I see that experience is important in teams.
Yeah.
I think his experience in that team is very important. Like we'll touch on later on yeah. on Kaizer Chiefs
yeah.
and the changes that they made in the team. I think yeah. experience is very important, and teams should shy away from moving experienced players out their team.
Yeah, yeah, too quickly. And speaking of teams, the third segment on today's episode is a segment where we discuss most of the matches that we felt like matches that we gravitated towards.
Yeah.
Which match particularly stood out for you?
I think a very important match for Kaizer Chiefs, the current leaders, was the recent one.
Yeah.
The 3-2 win against Polokwane City.
Yeah.
Only because they were losing 2-0 and they came back from 2 goals down
yeah.
to win the match.
Yeah.
And to put them 6 points ahead of Sundowns. So I think that's a very important game with regards to the title race.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, I think, when Kaizer Chiefs have a look at their season.
Yeah.
And this is hypothetically speaking, if they win the league, they're always going to look back at this result against Polokwane City.
Definitely.
Because it was the result that put cushion between them and Sundowns.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, this 3 points was a big 3 points. You know, I cannot begin to explain how important this 3 points was for Kaizer Chiefs. And I really enjoyed the fight back. You know, the fighting spirit they had to score 3 goals in under 10 minutes. Really impressive. You know, even though Polokwane City's defending was quite horrendous from set pieces, however, you still have to put the ball into the back of the net. And I really enjoyed Samir Nukovic's performance,
yeah.
especially because he's unorthodox. You know,
yeah.
you look at a lot of players and you think, okay, he's going to have the silky touches, the skill. But no, this is a player who's just pure, hardworking.
And effective, if I can add.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very effective.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that he adds a different dimension to the PSL. Because most players who've shown in the PSL in the past seasons have been players of skill. We're synonymous with players who have skill, speed, and have that footballing intelligence. But I think it's a good thing that we've got this hardworking guy who's really set the marker as an offensive player in the PSL this season. And I think it just shows that other youngsters and other players coming through their development ranks, that you don't always have to have the skill, you don't always have to have the footballing knowledge that a Jabu Maluleke, for example, possesses.
Yeah, yeah.
However, you can be a hard-working player who's effective to the cause of the team. And a game that stood out for me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, but I just wanted to add that I was very impressed by the coach, Ernst Minnedorf.
Yeah.
I think he got his strategy a bit wrong.
Yeah.
Because Polokwane City had a lot of chances to end the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they had like 3 1-on-1s in that game. If the first half, if they score all their chances, they go into the half 4-0 up and the game's done.
Yeah.
So then with that being said, he saw that he got his tactics wrong and he changed.
Yeah.
He brought on experienced players. Ramahla Mphahlele came on. Bernard Parker and Katsande came on.
Yeah.
Katsande got the goal to give them the 2-1 to come back.
Yeah.
And I think the experience was very important. So I'd like to take my hat off to Middendorp.
Yeah, he definitely got it right there. And he got it right at a very... It wasn't too late.
Yeah.
Because a lot of coaches don't like to admit that they were wrong tactically. And then they'll only put in key players who can affect the game at the 80th or 85th minute. And let's be honest, that's not enough time for a player. For a player to affect the game.
Yeah.
So my hat off goes to him.
Yeah.
And a player, though, I must highlight, is Ngomezulu. I really enjoyed his performance. He was running that defense rugged. However, I think if he can work on his finishing, I think we really have a serious player on our hands.
And I also think it was poor management from Polokwane City's manager to take him off.
Yeah, Clinton Larson.
Clinton Larson, to take him off. The guy that's been showing the most threat to score a goal.
Yeah.
You take him off when you should be scoring the next goal and just getting the fourth one and ending the game. So, yeah, maybe you should keep him on longer. And then you see a different result.
Yeah. So a game that caught my attention, I have to speak about Cape Town City versus Chipper United. I think it was one of the most professionally managed football games.
Yeah.
And if I break this down, you get those teams that win a game 1-0, but they win it very convincingly. And on the day, they were just amazing. Their passing was great. They looked very sharp. And they look like a team who finally understands what the coach is trying to implement. And I really enjoyed the partnership of Tariq Filiz and Mubara at the back. I think when they're fit, the pair of them, and they've gathered the numbers as well, and they've been able to put miles into those legs, I definitely do see them actually going into the national team. And I think that they can actually give most centre-half pairings in the PSL run for their money. I think it's a very solid centre-half pairing, and I like the balance. I like the composure that both players have, and it's sort of a partnership that you look at, and like, it's nice when both defenders have a bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and they're able to cover each other. I was particularly impressed with Duduzi Mtanzani's performance in the middle of the park. I think he showed great fight. His passing was good. And he's a warrior in that midfield of Cape Town City. And hopefully going forward, he will be able to fill the void of Roland Putcher. But only time will tell.
Yeah, but my question for you is, do you think the coach has the tools at Cape Town City to get them back into the top eight?
I definitely do think so. Because when I look from goalkeeper, you got Peter Lubenberg.
Yeah.
Who is a very good goalkeeper.
From Europe.
In my opinion, he's top five, if not top three in the PSL.
Yeah.
And then you look at the back line. You've got Kize, Bafana International.
Yeah.
He's the captain at right back. Your two centre-backs are the men that I've just mentioned, Tariq Filiz and Mubara. At left back, you've got Edmilson, who's been nothing but a revelation ever since he's come to South Africa. In the middle of the park, you've got Thabo Nodata, who is their key player.
Playmaker.
Do you understand? And what I love about him is that he's a playmaker who's got a bit of bite. He's a playmaker that also goes the other way, and he goes box to box. And then you've got Duduzi Mtanzane, who's very composed, who's very good at starting up play. Then you also got Tato Mukeke, who can fill that void in the midfield, you know. And then looking at up front, you've got Kermit Erasmus, who's a lethal striker, very good finisher, and I think his goal was taken really well. And for me, that goal was basically how to score a headed goal, 1-1. Mm. You understand? The ball is whipped in, and he places it in the corner, basically from back into the direction the ball is coming from. He heads it into the ground, it bounces, and it goes in. Beautiful finish. On the wings, they've got Relani, who I think is, he's a maestro. You know, he's got 8 assists this season so far.
Only behind Manyama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's definitely had a good season.
Yeah.
And they've got Mpo Makola as well. And on the right, they've got Fakhri Lake, who's blessed with speed for days. And he's also got good technique on him to put balls into the box. And they also have Craig Martin, who's been a revelation for them. So I definitely do think they've got all the necessary tools. It's just, how does the coach piece it together now going forward? Because you can have all these good players, but they might not gel. So I think it's very important to allow the team to take to his new system. And when I mean I mean that in the sense that allow these 11 guys to gel, allow these 11 guys to bond. Do you understand? Before you break it up, identify your best 11, put them on, and let them play consecutive games, and eventually they pick up confidence.
Okay, let's move on to the next talking point, and in the PSL's resumption, we've seen more draws and less goals. Why do you think that we've seen such a slow start from the teams in the PSL?
You know, the crazy thing about this, if we're to put it into perspective, the last time these guys played competitive football was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Five.
And a footballing season is 8 to 9 months. So do you realize that these guys have been out for almost as long as a footballing season? So I feel like they've been very rusty, especially because of the restrictions of of the pandemic that we face. They haven't been able to train together as a team. They haven't been able to work on finishing. They haven't been able to work on set plays and on their regular patterns. For example, Highlands Park, before they played against Sundowns, they only had one training session together. Everybody else was just training alone. So they really haven't had the time. Yeah. And I think as time goes on, you regain the confidence, you regain the touch. Yeah. And I also think that the coaches have been very conservative. I speak to the game I watched against Sundowns, played against Pirates. And when I look at that game, I feel like both of the coaches, it was a chess game.
Yeah.
Where they were both set back and they were just trying to nullify each other. They played the same formation. And earlier on, I mentioned that my boy got converted into a right back.
Into a right back, yeah.
Whereas my boy is one of the best offensive players in the country. So I think at this point, it's an issue of match fitness. It's an issue of lack of confidence. And I think that a lot of teams would rather play for the draw, play for a point, as opposed to go out, kill your legs, and not have anybody to come on and maybe get you the winner or get you the draw. So I think a lot of teams are conservative by virtue of that. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think some of the managers have gotten the approach wrong.
Yeah.
For me, Sundowns, in the last three games, I don't want to talk about Sundowns a lot, but they've gotten their approach wrong. Like I said, they were too defensive.
Yeah,
but I think it's easier to to get your defensive shape and just to be ready defensively in training than it is to practice finishing, and because that takes time for the players. Like you said, they were out for 5 months, so they haven't been playing together.
Yeah.
I know they have played together before, but you still have to get into the rhythm of that and into the rhythm of scoring, into the rhythm of making the right run. So I think over time they'll find their rhythm and then we'll see more goals.
As opposed to playing to win, they're playing not to lose.
Yeah.
And when you play football not to lose,
you're in trouble.
It ends up becoming a draw.
Yeah.
Because both attack have the same mentality.
Yeah.
And that's why I quite enjoyed Cape Town City's performance and I enjoyed Kaizer Chiefs' performance against Bulawayo City. Those are the first two teams post-lockdown where I felt they really attacked the game.
Yeah.
They really went gung-ho and decided that, okay, you know what? We understand we might not have the legs, we might not have the fitness, but those who can at this point contribute anything, let them play football, let them attack. We've got the fortitude of 5 subs, I think, which is also something that the managers haven't used well, which speaks to depth. It kind of shows us that a lot of teams don't really have that depth, and a lot of teams have given so many youngsters debuts.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen 4 players get their debuts coming from the MDC just in one weekend alone.
But adding to that, I think that benefits the big teams.
Yeah.
Like Kaizer Chiefs,
Definitely.
Sundowns, Pirates.
Yeah.
Polokwane City doesn't have the luxury to or the quality of player to bring on.
Exactly.
Like Mpahlele, for instance.
Or a Bernard Parker or Bernard Katande. Parker.
So and I think it unfairly it's unfair on the teams at the bottom.
And I think that's where they lost it, in my opinion. You know, I felt like they just ran out of steam.
Yeah.
And they played really well for 70 minutes and that's where it went. Yeah. So moving it on right along to our final segment, one of our favorite segments, if not our favorite segment on this show, is Extra Time. Yeah. And today in Extra Time, we focus on the relegation battle.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the relegation battle?
For me, I think there are about 4 teams that are in this battle.
Yeah.
For me, it's Baroka,
yeah,
AmaZulu, Polokwane City,
yeah,
and Black Leopards.
Yeah.
So for each of these teams, I think there are important players that are going to be crucial for them to decide if they stay up or they drop ultimately. And I'll start with AmaZulu. For me, Bonginthuli is very important for AmaZulu. Yeah. I think before the resumption, he scored 12 goals out of the total 14.
He's contributed to 87% of the team's goals.
So they over-reliant on him. But I think if he finds his form and plays, I think he'll be very important to whether or not they stay up.
Yeah.
And then I think for Baroka, Chipezeze, the keeper.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be important. Yeah. He's been an important figure at Baroka for a long time. So I think they'll be looking at him to make the big saves, just like he did against AmaZulu, who had a lot of chances in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the teams that you've mentioned,
yeah,
AmaZulu's problems run deeper than just on the field.
Mm.
They've had problems in management. The manager currently is actually Monib Josephs. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Monib Josephs is the current manager.
He's a player manager.
Yeah, player manager. And even there's been disputes. There's a lot of things which are going behind the scenes with regards to AmaZulu. And
so do you think they'll get over that, or do you see them going down?
I mean, you've got players like Ihlokhonolo Majoro, who signed to AmaZulu.
But
because of a certain dispute and altercation which was there, it's currently not being used. And at this point, you need goal scorers.
Yeah.
You need quality players with experience.
Definitely.
A player who's been there, done it at national team level, Pirates, Kaizer Chiefs, Cape Town City, Bidvest, you name it. He's got the goals. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting with regards to AmaZulu. I think if they can get their defensive shape right, and in the middle of the park as well, I think that they'll be fine. Because, you know what I like about Nduli? Nduli doesn't need many chances to score goals. He scores goals. He gets them. He's going to get the goals, definitely. Yeah. It's what they do at the other end. That's what I'm concerned with. And with regards to Black Leopards, I just feel like a lot of things have gone wrong for Black Leopards. Their caretaker coach has left.
Yeah.
Liseri Kapinga, the key player.
Key player.
Signed for Sundowns. Yeah. He left. So I think Leopards will go down.
They're in trouble, huh?
Yeah. They're in trouble. I think Leopards will go down. I think Bulawayo City will survive, especially because of the performance that I saw against Kaizer Chiefs.
They
played really well for 70 minutes. They lost in the last 20. So that, what does that say to us? It says that they're regaining fitness. And within the next couple of games, that loss turns into a win.
Okay.
That loss turns into a draw. Yeah. That's valuable points. I think with Clinton Lawson's experience, who's been there, done that as a manager and as a player who's played for Orlando Pirates, he's won the league before. He also played for Manning Rangers. He knows how important this league is, you know, and he's been there when times were tough. He's been there when Pirates won the league. So he knows exactly what is needed to stay in this league.
Up, yeah.
He's got experience from a manager's perspective, from a player's perspective. And even in his time, he was actually a fullback. All right, fullback. And he used to bomb up and down that line. And he had great work ethic. So I think he will be able to instill that into his team. So I think Black Leopards go down and AmaZulu are going to play the playoff.
And then Baroka,
I think Baroka will survive.
They're good.
Yeah, they're good. So I think Baroka, Bulawayo City, and Chipper United, they survive. And then Black Leopards go immediately into the GLAAD Africa Championship. And then AmaZulu to play the playoff.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Bulawayo City's performance was very important. And I think they'll take a lot of positives out of that game.
Yeah, definitely.
They'll look to play the same with the same intensity. Like you pointed out earlier, with Ngoma Zulu on the left, he'll come in and then he'll be a threat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I also agree. I think Polokwane City will move out of the 15th position, and I see AmaZulu going to the playoffs. So yeah, I think that's it for today's show.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed zoning in on the PSL, especially because it's one of my favorite leagues, if not my favorite league. Because I believe there's lots of talent that we have here in this country. I believe we play beautiful football. It's small aspects of the game that we have to work on. Things such as finishing, things such as defending. I think we get those things right. And You know, there's so much potential here in South Africa. Yeah. There's so much potential. The talent that we see come through the ranks year in year, every year in South Africa, there's at least 5 to 10 new players who do really well in the league and who are really exciting. So I really enjoy PSL football. And I think it can only pick up from now because now they've all played that one game. And they've got that game out the way now. I think now they're going to find their rhythm. They're going to come out, attack games, score the goals. And yeah, I really look forward to see how everything plays out, especially in that relegation battle.
Yeah, I'm also looking out for the title race as well. So yeah, I'll be keen to see how Kaizer Chiefs and Sundowns ended. So yeah, I think that's that for this week.
Yeah.
And if you enjoyed this episode of Disky Vibes, help us spread the word by rating and sharing it. And thank you for tuning in and much love. Bye-bye.
Signing out.